Chapter 22. Jhana Cheetahs. There are many different cheetahs arising in our daily life, which experience objects through the five sense doors and through the mind door. Both in the sense door process and in the mind door process of cheetahs, there are Jhavana Cheetahs, which are, in the case of the non-arahat, either Kusala Cheetahs or Akusala Cheetahs. The Jhavana Cheetahs are most of the time Akusala Cheetahs because we cling to all objects which are experienced through the sense doors and through the mind door. We cling to visible object and seeing, to sound and hearing, to all the objects we experience. We cling to life. We want to go on living and receiving sense impressions. We may not notice when there is clinging after seeing or hearing, especially when we do not feel particularly glad about what was seen or heard. But there may be lopa mula cheetahs with indifferent feeling. There are likely to be many moments of clinging which passed unnoticed, both in the sense door processes and in the mind door processes. Time and again, an object is experienced through one of the sense doors and then through the mind door. And there are also mind or processes of cheetahs which think of concepts such as people, animals, or things. Clinging to concepts is likely to arise very often, and thus we think most of the time with a Kusala cheetah. When we do not apply ourselves to dana, sila, or bhavana, thinking is done with a Kusala cheetah. Even when we perform good deeds, there are bound to be Akusala cheetahs shortly after the Kusala cheetahs, since they are seeing and hearing time and again. And after seeing or hearing, attachment or aversion on account of what we experience may arise. The cheetahs which experience sense objects, the Kusala cheetahs and Akusala cheetahs, all the cheetahs which arise in our daily life, are of the sensuous plane of consciousness, or Kama Vichara cheetahs. On account of the experience of sense objects, defilements tend to arise. Therefore, wise people, even those who lived before the Buddha's time, who saw the disadvantages of sense impressions, developed jhana in order to be temporarily freed from sense impressions. Jhana cheetahs are not kamavichara cheetahs. They are of another plane of consciousness. These cheetahs experience with absorption a meditation subject through the mind door. At the moment of jhana, one is freed from sense impressions and from the defilements which are bound up with them. Jhana cheetahs comprise rupavichara cheetahs, rupa jhana cheetahs, and Erupa Vichara Cheetahs, Erupa Jhana Cheetahs. Erupa Jhana, immaterial jhana, is more refined than Rupa Jhana, fine material jhana, since the meditation subjects of Erupa Jhana are no longer dependent on materiality. Later on, I will deal with their difference. Apart from the planes of cheetah, which are Kama Vichara Cheetahs, Rupa Vichara Cheetahs and Erupa Vichara Cheetahs, there is still another plane of cheetah, the Lokuttara Cheetahs, translated as supra-mundane cheetahs, which have Nibbana as their object. Those who attain enlightenment have Lokuttara Cheetahs, experiencing Nibbana. Now I shall deal first with Jhana Cheetah. Jhana cheetahs do not have as their object, visible object, sound, or any other sense object. Jhana cheetahs arise in a process of cheetahs experiencing a meditation subject through the mind door. In this process, they are first Kamavichara cheetahs, which experience the meditation subject, and then, in that same process, the jhana cheetah arises. The process is as follows. Mano Dharavajana Cheetah, or mind or adverting consciousness. Parigama, or preparatory consciousness. Upachara, which means proximity or access. Anuloma, or adaptation, gotrabhu, which means that which overcomes the sense sphere or change of lineage. Those cheetahs comprise the Kamavachara cheetahs. Then jhana cheetah apana, or absorption, the moment of cheetah which attains jhana. For some parigama, preparatory consciousness is not necessary, and in this case they are, after the mind or advertent consciousness, only three Kamavachara cheetahs arising instead of four before the jhana cheetah arises. Gotrabhu, which overcomes the sense sphere, is the last cheetah in that process, which is Kamavachara cheetah. In the Visuddhimagga 4:74, we can read about the process of cheetahs in which jhana occurs for the first time. The Visuddhimagga 4:78 states that in that case only one single moment of jhana cheetah arises, which is then succeeded by the Vivanga cheetah, life continuum. After that, there's a process of Kamavachara cheetahs, reviewing through the mind door the jhana which has just occurred. For that person, the ability to attain jhana is still weak. He has to continue to purify himself of the hindrances in developing the jhana factors until these have become stronger. Further on, Visuddhimagga 4:123 and following, we read that absorption can last only when it is absolutely purified of states which obstruct concentration. One must first completely suppress lust by reviewing the dangers of sense desires and also suppress the other hindrances. When someone has become more accomplished, there can be jhana cheetahs succeeding one another, even for a long time. We read Visuddhimagga 4:125, and here I quote, "But when he enters upon a jhana, after first completely purifying his mind of states that obstruct concentration, then he remains in the attainment even for a whole day, like a bee that has gone into a completely purified hive." End of quote. Jhana cheetahs are kusalagama of a high degree. When jhana has been attained, the hindrances of sensuous desire, ill will, sloth, torpor, restlessness, regret, and doubt are temporarily eliminated. Thus one is truly calm, at least at that moment. As we have seen in the preceding chapter, the person who wants to develop samatha so as to be able to attain jhana has to develop the five jhana factors which can inhibit the hindrances, namely applied thinking, vitakka, sustained thinking, vichara, rapture, pity, happy feeling, sukha, concentration, samadhi. Jhana is developed in stages, with each succeeding stage being more refined than the preceding one. There are five stages of rupa jhana, fine material jhana in all. For the first stage of rupa jhana, it is still necessary that all five jhana factors arise with the jhana cheetah, but at each higher stage, when one has become more advanced, jhana factors are successively abandoned. When one attains to the rupa jhana of the second stage, one does not need the jhana factor, which is vitakka, applied thinking. At this point, the jhana cheetah can experience the meditation subject without vitakka, which has the characteristic of directing the mind onto an object and the function of touching the object. The other four jhana factors still arise with the jhana cheetah of the second stage. At the third stage of rupa jhana, vikara, sustained thinking, is abandoned. At this stage, one does not need vitakka nor vikara any longer in order to become absorbed in the meditation subject. Now there are three factors remaining: pity, rapture, sukha, happy feeling, and samadhi, concentration. At the fourth stage, pity is abandoned. There is still sukha, happy feeling, accompanying the jhana cheetah, but pity does not arise. Without pity, the jhana cheetah is more quiet, more refined. At the fifth stage, sukha, happy feeling, too, is abandoned, and there is indifferent feeling, upeka vindana, accompany the jhana citta instead. At this stage, one is no longer attached to happy feeling. The jhana factor, which is samadhi, concentration, remains. Some people can, at the second stage of jhana, abandon both vitaka, applied thinking, and vikara, sustained thinking. Consequently, they can, in the third stage, abandon pity, rapture, and in the fourth stage, sukha, happy feeling. Thus, for them, there are only four stages of jhana instead of five. That is the reason why rupa jhanas can be counted as four stages or as five stages, as the fourfold system or the fivefold system. When we read in the suttas about four stages of jhana, it is the fourfold system which is referred to. There can be up to five stages of rupa jhana in all. And thus there are five types of rupa vichara kusla cittas, rupa jhana kusla cittas. Jhana citta is kusla gama of a high degree, and thus its result is kupla vipaka of a high degree. Jhana cittas do not produce vipaka in the same lifespan. Their result is rebirth in higher planes of existence. The result of rupa vichara kusla cittas is rebirth in rupa brahma planes. Rupa vichara kusla cittas can produce result only if one's ability to attain jhana does not decline, and jhana cittas arise shortly before dying. If rupa vichara kusla citta is to produce the next rebirth, there are rupa vichara kusla cittas arising shortly before the kuti citta, dying consciousness. The patisandhi citta of the next life is rupa vichara vipaka citta, and this arises in the appropriate rupa brahma plane. It experiences the same meditation subject as the rupa vichara kusla cittas arising shortly before the kuti citta of the preceding life. The five types of rupa vichara kusla cittas are able to produce five types of rupa vichara vipaka cittas. When one is born with a patisandhi citta, which is rupa vichara vipaka citta, all the vanga cittas and the kuti citta of that life are of the same type of citta as the patisandhi citta. Rupa vichara vipaka citta can only perform the functions of patisandhi, vivanga, and kuti. There are five types of rupa vichara kriya cittas, which are the cittas of the arahat who attains rupa jhana. He does not have kusla cittas, but he has kriya cittas instead. Thus, there are 15 rupa vichara cittas in all. Summarizing them, they are 5 rupa vichara kusla cittas, 5 rupa vichara vipaka cittas, 5 rupa vichara kriya cittas. Those who have attained to the highest stage of rupa jhana and see the disadvantages of rupa jhana, which is still dependent on materiality, might want to cultivate irupa jhana or immaterial jhana. As a footnote, the meditation subjects of rupa jhana are connected with materiality. They are learnt by sight, touch, or hearsay. End of footnote. The meditation subjects of irupa jhana are not connected with materiality. There are four stages of irupa jhana. The first stage of irupa jhana is the sphere of bangla space. In order to attain the stage of irupa jhana, one has to attain first the highest stage of rupa jhana in any one of the kasina meditations, excepting the kasina of limited space, and achieve mastery in it. We read in the Visuddhimagga 10.6, and I quote, "When he has seen the danger in that fine material fourth jhana, in this way, and has ended his attachment to it, he gives attention to the base consisting of Bangla space as peaceful. As footnote, the fourth Rupa Jhana, here the counting is according to the fourfold system. End of footnote. Another footnote. The sphere of Bangla space, Ekansana Sayatana. End of footnote. End of quote. As regards the sphere of Bangla space, the Visuddhimagga 10.8 explains about the removing of the kasina, and I quote, "And when the kasina is being removed, it does not roll up or roll away. It is simply that it is called removed on account of his non-attention to it, his attention being given to space, space. This conceptualized as the mere space left by the removal of the kasina, materiality." End of quote. In this way, he can surmount the materiality of the kasina and attain the first Irupa Jhana, the sphere of Bangla space. There are three more stages of the Irupa Jhana, and each one of these is more subtle and more peaceful than the preceding one. The second stage of Irupa Jhana is the sphere of boundless consciousness, Vijnana Sayatana. The meditation subject of this stage of Irupa Jhana is the consciousness, which is the first Irupa Jhana Citta. This citta had as its object boundless space. The person who wants to attain the second stage of Irupa Jhana should first achieve mastery in the sphere of boundless space. He should see the disadvantages of this stage and end his attachment to it. We read in the Visuddhimagga 10.25, and I quote, "So having ended his attachment to that, he should give his attention to the base consisting of boundless consciousness as peaceful, adverting again and again as consciousness, consciousness, to the consciousness that occurred pervading that space as its object." End of quote. The third stage of Irupa Jhana is a sphere of nothingness, Ekansana Yatana. We read in the Visuddhimagga 10.32 that the person who wants to attain this stage should give his attention to the present non-existence of the past consciousness which pervaded the boundless space and which was the object of the second stage of Irupa Jhana, the sphere of boundless consciousness. We read Visuddhimagga 10.33, and I quote, "Without giving further attention to that consciousness, he should now avert again and again in this way. There is not, or void, void, or secluded, secluded, and give his attention to it, review it, and strike at it with thought and apply thought." End of quote. Further on, 10.35, we read, and I quote, "He dwells seeing only its non-existence, in other words, its departedness when this consciousness has arisen in absorption." End of quote. The fourth Irupa Jhana is the sphere of neither perception nor non-perception, Neva Sanya Nasanayatana. The object of this jhana is the fourth Namakandas, Citta and the accompanying jhana seekers, which attain the sphere of nothingness at the third stage of Irupa Jhana. We read in the Visuddhimagga 10.49, and I quote, "The word meaning here is this, that jhana with its associated states neither has perception nor has no perception because of the absence of gross perception and presence of subtle perception. Thus it is neither perception nor non-perception. Neva Sanya Nesanam." End of quote. Further on, 10.50, we read, and I quote, "Or alternatively, the perception here is neither perception, since it is incapable of performing the decisive function of perception, nor yet non-perception, since it is present in a subtle state, as a residual formation. Thus it is neither perception nor non-perception." End of quote. It is also explained that the feeling arising with this jhanacitta is neither feeling nor non-feeling, since it is present in a subtle state as a residual formation. The same applies to consciousness, contact, passa, and the other jhanasikas arising with the jhanacittas. Since there are four stages of a rupa jhana, there are four types of a rupa vichara kusala cittas. They can produce vipaka in the form of rebirth in the happy planes of existence, which are the arupa brahma planes. The four types of arupa vichara kusala cittas produce four types of arupa vichara vipaka cittas. When the Patisandhi citta is arupa vichara vipaka cittas, all bhavanga cittas and the kuti citta of that life are of the same type of arupa vichara vipaka citta. Arupa vichara vipaka citta can only perform the functions of Patisandhi, bhavanga, and kuti. As a footnote, just as in the case of rupa vichara kusala cittas, arupa vichara kusala citta cannot produce vipaka in the same lifespan. Therefore, it performs only the functions of Patisandhi, bhavanga, and kuti. End of footnote. There are four types of arupa vichara kiriya cittas, which are the cittas of the arahat who attains arupa jhana. Thus, there are 12 arupa vichara cittas in all. Summarizing them, there are 4 arupa vichara kusala cittas, 4 arupa vichara vipaka cittas, 4 arupa vichara kiriya cittas. Those who have cultivated jhana can develop the various types of direct knowledge, abhinna. As a footnote, also translated as supernormal powers or higher intellectual powers. They should attain the highest stage of rupa jhana, the 4th according to the fourfold system, and the 5th according to the fivefold system in the Kasina meditations. And they should exercise complete mind control in 14 ways, described in the Visuddhimagga, chapter 12. For example, they should, with the different Kasina meditations, be able to attain the subsequent stages of rupa jhana in order and in reverse order. In developing the kinds of direct knowledge or supernormal powers, one's concentration will become more advanced. The supernormal powers, abhinya, are the following. 1. Magical powers, such as passing through walls, walking in water, traveling through the air. 2. Divine ear, by which one hears sounds both heavenly and human, far and near. 3. Knowledge of the minds of other people. 4. Divine eye, by which one sees the deceasing and rebirth of beings. 5. Remembrance of one's former life. These are the 5 mundane supernormal powers. However, there is a 6th power, which is realized by Lukutara Citta, namely the eradication of all defilements when arahatship is attained. The 6th power is the greatest, and in order to realize it, insight has to be fully developed. Those who have cultivated the right conditions can achieve marvels. In the Gradual Sayings, Book of the Threes, Chapter 6, Paragraph 63, Sangharava, we read about the greatest marvel. The Buddha asked the Brahmin Sangharava about the topic of conversation of the royal party when they were together in the palace. The Brahmin Sangharava answered that they were talking about the fact that in former times the monks were fewer in number, but those possessed of supernormal powers were more numerous, and that now it was just the opposite. The Buddha said to him, and here I quote, "Now as to that, Brahmin, there are these 3 marvels." "What 3? "The marvel of more power, the marvel of thought reading, the marvel of teaching." "And what, Brahmin, is the marvel of more power. In this case, a certain one enjoys sorts of more powers in various ways. From being one, he becomes many. From being many, he becomes one. Manifest or invisible, he goes unhindered through a wall, through a rampart, through a mountain, as if through the air. He plunges into the earth and shoots up again as if in water. He walks upon the water without parting it, as if on solid ground. He travels through the air, sitting cross-legged, like a bird upon the wing. Even this moon and sun, though of such mighty power and majesty, he handles them and strokes them with his hand. Even as far as the Brahma world, he has power with his body. This Brahman is called the marvel of more power. And what Brahman is the marvel of thought reading? In this case, a certain one can declare by means of a sign, thus is your mind, such and such is your mind, this is your consciousness. End of quote. The Buddha explained more about mind reading, and then he said, and here I quote, and what Brahman is the marvel of teaching? In this case, a certain one teaches thus, reason thus, not thus, apply your mind thus, not thus, abandon this state, acquire that state, and abide therein. This Brahman is called the marvel of teaching. So these are the three marvels. Now of these three marvels, which appeals to you as the more wonderful and excellent? Of these marvels, Master Gotama, the marvel of more power seems to me to be of the nature of an illusion. Then again, as the marvel of thought reading, this also, Master Gotama, seems to me of the nature of an illusion. But as the marvel of teaching, of these three marvels, this one appeals to me as the more wonderful and excellent. End of quote. Sangharava then asked the Buddha whether he possessed all three marvels, and the Buddha told him that he did. Sangharava also asked whether any other monk possessed them, and the Buddha answered, and I quote, yes, indeed, Brahman, the monks possessed of these three marvelous powers are not just one or two or three, 400 or 500, but much more than that in number. End of quote. Sangharava then expressed his confidence in taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and he asked to be accepted as a lay follower. In the Buddha's time, many monks had cultivated conditions for marvelous powers. The greatest marvel of these, however, is the marvel of teaching, since it can lead to the eradication of all defilements, to the end of all sorrow. For those who have accumulations for jhana, there are many benefits, since jhana is kusalagama of a high degree. One of the benefits is a happy rebirth. Even for those who can attain only excess concentration or upachara samadhi. Visuddhimagga 11.123. However, even rebirth in a happy plane of existence is dukkha, because life in a happy plane may be followed by rebirth in an unhappy plane. Therefore, no birth at all is to be referred to any kind of rebirth. This can be realized only by developing the wisdom which eradicates defilements. Jhana is called in the teachings an abiding in ease here now. For example, in the Discourse on Expunging, Middle Length Sayings 1, Number 8. Those who have become advanced in the development of calm can have many jhana cittas in succession, since they have cultivated conditions for this. They truly are abiding in ease here now. However, the Buddha would point out that abiding in ease is not the same as expunging, eradication. We read in the Discourse on Expunging that the Buddha said to Kunda with regard to the monk who could attain Rupa Jhana, and I quote, the situation occurs, Kunda, when a monk here aloof from pleasures of the senses, aloof from unskilled states of mind, may enter on and abide in the first jhana, which is accompanied by initial thought, vitakka, and discursive thought, vikara, is born of aloofness and is rapturous and joyful. It may occur to him, I fare along by expunging. But these kunda are not called expungents in the discipline for an Aryan. They are called abidings in ease, here, now, in the discipline for an Aryan. End of quote. The Buddha said the same with regard to the attainment of the other stages of rupa jhana. With regard, the monk who could attain a rupa jhana, he said, and I quote, it may occur to him, I fare along by expunging, but these kunda are not called expungings in the discipline for an Aryan. These are called abidings that are peaceful in the discipline for an Aryan. End of quote. Those who have accumulated great skill for jhana and have developed vipassana can attain enlightenment with Lokottara jhana citta, that is, Lokottara citta accompanied by jhana factors of one of the different stages of jhanas according to their accumulations. As a footnote, this will be further explained in chapter 23, end of footnote. Instead of a meditation subject of samatha, Dibbana is the object which is experienced with absorption by the Lokottara jhana citta. In the process during which enlightenment is attained, the magga citta, path consciousness, Lokottara kusa citta, is immediately followed by the pala citta, fruition consciousness, the result of the magga citta. When the pala cittas have fallen away, that process of cittas is over. The magga-citta of that stage of enlightenment cannot arise again. But for those who have developed jhana and attained enlightenment with Lokottara jhana-citta, the pala-citta can arise again, even many times in life, and it experiences nibbana with absorption. Those who have attained the fourth stage of arupa-jhana, the sphere of neither perception nor non-perception, and have also realized the third stage of enlightenment, the stage of the anagami, or who have realized the stage of the arhat, can attain cessation, nirodha samapatti, which is the temporary ceasing of bodily and mental activities. The person who has attained cessation, the stopping of perception and feeling, is different from a corpse. We read in the Greater Discourse of the Miscellany, Middle Length Sayings 1, number 43, that Maha Kohita asked Sariputta a number of questions. He also asked questions about the dead body and about the difference between the dead body and the monk who has attained cessation. We read that Maha Kohita asked, and I quote, in regard to this body, Your Reverence, when how many things are got rid of, does this body lie cast away, flung aside alike onto a senseless log of wood? In regard to this body, Your Reverence, when three things are got rid of, vitality, heat, and consciousness, then does this body lie cast away, flung aside like onto a senseless log of wood? What is the difference, Your Reverence, between that dead thing passed away and that monk who has attained to the stopping of perception and feeling? Your Reverence, the bodily activities of that dead thing passed away have been stopped, have subsided. The vocal activities have been stopped, have subsided. The mental activities have been stopped, have subsided. The vitality is entirely destroyed, the heat allayed, the sense organs are entirely broken asunder. But that monk who has attained to the stopping of perception and feeling, although his bodily activities have been stopped, have subsided, although his vocal activities have been stopped, have subsided, although his mental activities have been stopped, have subsided, his vitality is not entirely destroyed. His heat is not allayed. His sense organs are purified. This, your reverence, is the difference between a dead thing passed away and that monk who has attained to the stopping of perception and feeling. End of quote. For those who emerge from cessation, the first citta which arises is a pala citta, lukutara vipaka citta, having nibbana as its object. In the case of the anagami, it is a pala citta of the stage of the anagami, and in the case of the arahat, it is a pala citta of the arahat. The Visuddhimagga 23:50 states that their minds tend towards nibbana. We read, and I quote, "Toward what does the mind of one who has emerged tend? It tends towards nibbana. For this is said, when a bhikkhu has emerged from the attainment of the cessation of perception and feeling, friend Visakha, his consciousness inclines to seclusion, leans to seclusion, tends to seclusion." Middle length sayings 1, number 44, 302, end of quote. In the lesser discourse in Gosinga, middle length sayings 1, number 31, we read that the Buddha came to see Anuruddha, Nandiyaya, and Kimbila when they were staying in the Gosinga Salwood. The Buddha asked them about their life in the forest. They could attain all stages of rupa jhana and arupa jhana, and they could abide in them for as long as they liked. The Buddha said, and I quote, "It is good, Anurundas, it is good. But did you, Anurundas, by passing quite beyond this abiding, by allaying this abiding, reach another state of further men, an excellent knowledge and vision befitting the Aryans, and abiding in comfort? How could this not be, Lord? Here we, Lord, for as long as we like, by passing quite beyond the plane of neither perception nor non-perception, entering on the stopping of perception and feeling, abide in it, and having seen through intuitive wisdom, our kankas come to be utterly destroyed. By passing quite beyond that abiding, Lord, by allaying that abiding, another state of further men, an excellent knowledge and vision befitting the Aryans, and abiding in comfort is reached. But we, Lord, do not behold another abiding in comfort that is higher or more excellent than this abiding in comfort. It is good, Anurundas, it is good. There is no other abiding in comfort that is higher or more excellent than this abiding in comfort." End of quote. Questions for Chapter 22. 1. What is the advantage of arupa jhana compared to rupa jhana? Two, what is the difference between the fourth stage of arupa jhana, the sphere of neither perception nor non-perception, and cessation? Three, can anybody who has developed the fourth stage of arupa jhana attain cessation? Four, what is the purpose of the supernormal powers, abhinnas? Five, when six abhinnas are mentioned, which of these is the greatest? Six, what benefit is there for those who develop both jhana and vipassana and attain enlightenment? 7. What is the object of citta at the moment of jhana? 8. Through which door can the jhana citta experience an object? 9. What is the object of Lukutara Jhana Citta? End of chapter 22.